The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Live from West Babylon, New York, this is Sports Talk 1240.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. You thought the Waz was gone for good, but he's back. He's not raging, though. Your live room, Sports Talk 1240, is on the air, and you're with WGBB. The phone number is 631-888-8811, if it hasn't changed. So if you want to call, comment, rant, praise, whatever you'd like to, we'll give you the time. We'll have some fun. It's sports, folks. Today, the Jets won a football game. Now, as you know, me and John Sweeney across the way from me.
Hello, hello, hello.
Are big Jet fans. Tremendous Jet fans. Lifetime Jet fans. 40 plus years apiece. Since our age would dictate that we are close to 50 years old. But I have to ask you, I told you during the summer, Mr. Sweeney, that this was probably the first year I could recall in my lifetime as a Jet fan that I wasn't looking forward to the season, that I was actually rooting against any success for my team because I want the chance to have the top pick and draft the franchise quarterback that may be able to turn the franchise around to go along with hopefully money that's being saved in the future being spent on quality offensive linemen first and foremost, since we have no offensive line. Although the Dolphins would have you think otherwise today.
The Dolphins looked horrible. Horrible today. But, you know, maybe the Jets' defense, actually, with all those first-round picks that we have on defense, is actually getting their act together and playing a little better now. But like you said, I'm looking for Sam the Man Donald from USC. Young kid, kind of like Roethlisberger. But you know what, though? Is he going to save the day? Is one quarterback going to save our day? Because we've gone through this down this road.
There is uncertainty in everything. Well, we've never had the top pick in the draft where we took a quarterback. We've had the top pick.
Yeah, it was Sanchez, you know, was number five.
Parcells traded the top pick one time, and that was the other time we took Keyshawn Johnson.
Well, he traded the pick because Peyton Manning decided to stay his last year and want to win a national championship with Tennessee, which he didn't do, thank God.
Right, and he traded down to get picks because a lot was given up to secure him as a coach. But
we had
Sanchez.
Could
have had Orlando Pace that year.
Right, that would have been.
And what would that have done for the Jets' future?
Hall of Famer.
Or how about immediate future, since in 98 they went to the title game? Might he have helped open up the run game for Curtis Martin a little better than the guys that were on that roster? Possibly.
Yes, exactly.
He's only a Hall of Famer. You know, which leads to my other problem with the Jets, is that they just have no success or have done a poor job in scouting and deciding who they're going to draft. There's a lot of emptiness now with the Jets in prior drafts, and we've discussed it. All of their quality top picks reside on defense, and the first two games, you know, that's all I looked at. Was against Buffalo and against the Raiders. I wanted to see what they were doing defensively, and both games they gave up close to 200 yards rushing against, and you can't begin to play the game and compete if you're going to do that.
They did a good job on Ajayi today, who I'm almost positive scored, ran for 200. I think he did it three times last year, and one of those games was against us, and they contained him. I know he's going into the game a little hurt. They contained their running game, and Cutler looked horrible today. But it could have been, you know, our scheme. Maybe Todd Bowles is onto something right now.
No, the defense, listen, the defense played a very good game today.
Yeah,
But that's one out of three.
Right.
Well, okay. Now, I'm waiting for the future to arrive. But right now, what can be evaluated when half of your defense possesses first-round picks, and then some other guys like Jenkins at linebacker.
Right.
You know, there's other guys in second, third-round picks that are on that defense. So most of your quality draft picks in the last handful of years are on defense. And that can be evaluated week to week. Listen, Adams, we can get excited about it. It's his first year. Let him get his feet wet. He's going to do it. Hopefully he'll be Ronnie Lott type defensive back.
He looks like he's going to be – I think he's going to be good.
I'm not going to get excited about him just yet.
It's a third game. You know, and he looked good today.
You know, early in the game, you know,
Leonard Williams, he looked good. He made some big plays in the backfield.
Now, Leonard Williams.
The defensive line got some good pressure, but the disruption in the backfield, and that's nice. But it's very hard for me to get excited. And listen, I hate the Dolphins.
So do
that's
I.
The biggest
can't
rival, right? Anyway, you could tell me all you want about the Patriots. The biggest rival for the Jets. For me, growing up as a kid, till now, still the Dolphins. You always want to beat them.
O'Brien and Marino.
Goes way back, even with Richard Todd. Yeah, the Mud Bowl, you name it.
I can't stand them either.
You know, the Dolphins used to dominate that division, winning all the titles. Now, I mean, the Patriots.
It's a no-brainer. They're going to win
the Patriots. The Patriots dominate the division. And you know, the only thing I learned today, watching the Dolphins, they stink.
Yeah.
And Buffalo, I don't really care if they beat Denver. I ain't impressed with them. The only thing I realized today in the AFC East is that somebody has to finish in second place to the Patriots. I don't know who it is. I'm not even excluding the Jets after watching what the Dolphins did today.
Because they stink. And they didn't play their first game, so this is actually their second game of the season. Everyone was going crazy because they beat the Chargers last week. The Chargers stink, too. And I came to it.
They do. That,
at the Chargers are horrible. And I will say this. Like you said, I agree 100% with you. Cutler didn't look good. That team stinks. And it made the Jets look better than they are. I'll tell you right now. Look, they went out to Oakland last week, and to me, they got destroyed. I mean, even though they scored a few points, Oakland had second game. Oakland could have scored at any moment, at any time they wanted to. Crabtree with 3 touchdowns. We'll see what happens though. Maybe the Leaf is it has turned the Leaf.
I mean, for the better. Really, what do the Chargers have?
Nope.
An aging quarter, and look, Philip Rivers has great career numbers. He's had a great career.
With Gates.
But the only thing you ever hear about is him and Gates and how many touchdowns he threw to him. All right, great. Well, that's gonna end sometime.
Right.
I mean, what have they won? I mean, the Jets beat them in the playoffs every time they played them, don't they?
Yeah, every time.
So what have the Chargers done to excite people? They got Melvin Gordon? Good. Maybe he's a future big-time running back for them. But the Dolphins beat them? So what?
Big deal.
They're the worst team in the AFC West.
Yeah, exactly.
Which, outside of the Patriots, the only thing worth watching is the AFC West. They're the only thing that can compete. And I know it's only 3 games, but right now it's the Patriots,
Kansas City,
and the top 3 teams in the AFC West.
Right. Kansas City.
Because you want to know what? You found out how good the Ravens were today.
Yeah.
And Pittsburgh, I'm glad they lost.
Me too.
Now we know how good they are. They lost to the Bears. They helped us take a step in the right direction that draft by letting the Bears take one on them.
It's just funny how teams play. They last week Tampa comes in there and steamrolls them. Shut the Bears out. They looked Mike Glennon, which actually I wanted as a quarterback at one time.
Yeah, he's okay.
I was saying, go out and get Mike Glennon. He only passed for like 100 yards today. They ran all over Pittsburgh today. Ran all over them. Pittsburgh did not show me anything. But then again, historically, for some reason, Ben Roethlisberger on the road is horrible. At home, the guy's unstoppable and unbeatable.
He's had a great career.
Let me tell you something. They got a lot of power on that offense.
Yeah.
They have Bell, awesome. Probably best running back in the league, right?
Yeah, when he's on the field, when he's not in trouble, I guess. Yeah. He's excellent.
When he's dynamic.
Right, exactly. He's great. They got great receivers.
Awesome.
But their defense is a far cry from the steel curtain of years past.
It used to be. When we were playing them.
With Bill Cowher, or even the early years with Tomlin when they won a Super Bowl.
Their
defense does not impress me one bit.
The guy that impresses me the most on that team is Mike Tomlin. He is he's a great. He wasn't, actually, I was listening to something. When they went in for the interview, he wasn't even the top guy to go in there, but he impressed them so much that he won the job. And he did. He's done a great job over there. He's done a great job over there. Well, hey, Big Ben. Hopefully, Sam Donald is like a Big Ben kind of quarterback, and we can have him for years. Or we go great. There's other quarterbacks out there that are good. That guy Rosen's a good quarterback. There's some good guys out there.
All right, listen. I don't want to be a coward about this and avoid it since it's a sports talk show.
But I think we have a call.
No, we're not taking a call until we comment on this first.
Let's do it.
Okay? And I understand, you know, I was a cop. At one time, I'm retired now. You were a police officer also. You're retired. On top of that, you served in the military.
Yeah, I'd say
so. So a lot of people would probably hear our comments and say, well, you know, your opinion doesn't really matter. And I understand. We're biased, probably.
Yeah.
We grew up. I grew up in a police officer family. My dad was a captain, served 30-plus years on the department. This has nothing to do with that, my comment on this. And listen, I am all for social justice, people being treated fairly, treating someone the way you expect to be treated yourself. I have no problem with taking an issue with police action that you don't view as just and fair.
Right.
I have no problem taking a stance against government if they're not doing the right thing, looking out for the best interests of society in general and people, human beings. I have no problem getting behind a cause to make things better for everybody. But I just personally do not think that the gesture of taking a knee during the national anthem is proper.
Right.
In using your forum. Professional athletes have a bigger forum. People look up to them. Fans of teams, fans of individual athletes. They have the forum. You know, they have the spotlight. They can do something. I just personally don't think that taking a knee during the anthem is the right way to go about it. And I was, listen, I was a police officer, but I never looked at the flag and thought of myself, the cop. Whenever I looked at the flag, I thought of the military and what they did
to make America what it is today.
To protect all the rights, to protect the country, to create what has become America.
Right.
For good or for bad. However you want to look at it. Amendments, all everything. And I just, you know, since we were talking about the Pittsburgh game, and listen, Mike Tomlin came out for the anthem. He stood by himself on the sideline. His entire team stayed in the locker room, except for one player. And that one player was Alejandro Villanueva.
Villanueva, an Army Ranger.
And you didn't realize when I brought this up to you during the day when I talked to you, right? But he's the one in all those commercials on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone, you know, they got to rack their brains. They'll remember the commercials.
Yeah, they will. He was.
He's also Hispanic. USAA. Right? He's Hispanic too. Yes. So we're not talking about a white guy, all right?
The bottom.
But
line.
Listen, to me, now listen. On the flip side, right? He came out because he was an Army Ranger. Mike Tomlin stood on the sidelines by himself. The rest of the team stayed in the locker room. Do I like that? No, I don't like that. Now listen, the Jets as a team, unless I'm misinformed, I thought I heard that nobody took a knee on the Jets. I'll give them credit for that. I'm sure there's a ton of guys on the Jets that support the cause of social justice, of equal treatment, fair treatment. But they chose as a team, whether they were instructed to or not, I doubt it. Who knows? But as a team, they stood and held hands. Whatever you're going to do, put your hand on the guy's shoulder, do whatever you want. But just show a little respect. And some guy that I don't even know went back and forth with me on Twitter. I'm like, whatever. They made fun of, like, I have no followers. We do this for fun. It's a hobby. I don't get paid to talk sports.
Right.
But when I looked at how many followers he had, I just commented to him, like, you know what? The amount of followers you have is a fraction, a tiny fraction, as compared to the number of men and women who have died or lost legs serving in wars. And you think everybody that fought in those wars wanted to fight in those wars? That wanted their legs blown off?
Hey, I have a lot of friends, amputees from the military. Hey, my grandmother's brother died on D-Day. Okay? I'm just saying.
Right.
And I was a military. My father was military.
All right.
Uncles, they were military. It's just, to me, that is the wrong form that they're using to use their, whatever they're I understand what they're going
I just don't like the gesture.
But I just don't like it through that form, putting political...
Like, who... The problem here is, like, who are you sending a message to? They're not sending a message to me.
It's upsetting a lot of... It's upsetting... Look, there's other ways I think they could do this without upsetting... Without using the national anthem. I don't understand... I wish someone would explain to me why they're doing it through the national anthem.
Right.
Considering that all these guys, like I would say 98 or 99% of the guys got a free college.
Right, which
education.
I really don't care about. That's fine.
No,
they had a talent.
Yes.
They were recruited for football.
Yeah.
That's fine. Scholarships go out of that has...
America's a great country because of the guys that died for this country to make it great. Going back to the Revolutionary War. Otherwise, England would have conquered us over here. I mean, we had, you know, talking about World War II. Look, 440,000 guys died during World War II.
It's just amazing to me. I just
don't understand.
And I'm not saying they can't do it. They can do whatever they want, which is fine. But I don't necessarily have to like it or approve it. I'm not going to stand in their way. I just don't. I almost look at it as being lazy. Like, say what you want. I know these comments are in hindsight. But Muhammad Ali, and a lot of people loved or hated him. He took a stance, right? He took a stance. I'm not going to get into all the details. He took a stance. But there's a man who sacrificed something. He was willing to go to prison.
Right.
He gave up his career, whether you believe that or not. He was out of boxing for 3 years. That is doing something for a cause, even if it's you solo doing it on your own. Now, I'm not saying this like I'm the biggest Ali fan of all time. You know, I was too young. I started watching boxing at the end of Ali's career. My sister loved him. And I was a little kid, so I only saw three fights. I saw him lose to Leon Spinks. I saw him beat Leon Spinks. And then I saw him lose to Larry Holmes. And I was like, you know, like a 10, 8, 9, 10-year-old kid. And my sister used to get mad at me because I'd be like, Ali stinks. I didn't know any better. And I saw him lose two out of three fights. What do I think of? You know, I was a young kid getting into following Marvin Hagler, right? But there's a guy, when you look back on his life and his career, whether you agree with what he did or not, Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali, Chain, the guy, he put it on the line.
Right. I agree with you.
That is an objective statement.
Yeah.
You're going to take a knee during the anthem? I mean, what are you trying to prove with that? What message are you sending there?
I don't understand it.
I just don't like it.
I just think there's other ways they could do it. The NFL's a billion-dollar operation. If the football players want to get together and do something else,
right,
then do that. But don't do it during... I just don't understand the point they're making during the national anthem and how the national anthem is... against them for some reason.
And listen, we were cops. A lot of people will hear that me and you were police officers and roll their eyes listening to this.
Yeah.
Do you know what? We got paid to do a job. We protected people. We defended people's rights to protest anything.
Right.
Think about it, right? Well, hold on now, right?
Yeah.
Pro-choice, pro-life, abortion clinics, you had to protect their right. How many times you have somebody in your face, what do you think, officer? It doesn't matter what I think. Was always what I would say. It doesn't matter what I think. Right now, I'm here just to protect you so that you can go about your peaceful protest, go about your protest, voice your opinion without fearing being harmed, right? Because you're a cop. You're there to protect people. 100%. And that was stuff with abortion clinics.
Right. If you liked it or not, you had to be there. And you had to protect the people that right? were
Supreme,
protesting.
Supreme Court decisions. Right. It didn't matter if it was animal rights activists.
Right.
You know, at a factory throwing paint on fur coats. Hey, listen,
it didn't
matter if it was a political demonstration. Whether you agreed with it or not, you were there to protect. So no one's going to tell me, oh, how could you dump all over someone? We protected all different types of rights. You know, it didn't matter if I had to put a guy, a 21-year-old, in a police car who was getting locked up for molesting a 3-year-old kid. Right? I had to protect his right.
Even though you wanted to rip his head off, I understand.
Anybody with common decency would despise what that person stood for at that point if he was guilty, right?
But yeah.
Right? Because innocent until proven guilty.
Of course.
So think about all the different demonstrations and marches and everything you had to endure as a cop. People in your face that like you and people in your face that hate you.
Right.
And before they even know you, they just hate you for the uniform you're wearing. I understood what part of it. I learned very quickly what it was to be a police officer. The good about it and the bad. And I am some soapbox. You know, like I said, I'm all for social justice. I'm all for being compassionate, right? We did a radio show to raise a lot, like over $10,000 years ago.
Yes.
Me and an old partner.
Yeah.
And it was to go to, you know, because police officers killed in the line of duty. You know, so it went to the children to help parents, the surviving parent, take care of it. And that's being compassionate. On the flip side, right, they can say, well, that's a police. It was a police charity.
I'm involved in all those with the military.
What about when I ran? You do a ton. But what about like I ran a marathon. And I ran for, you know, a recovery center to raise money to take care of the kids who have parents that suffer from addiction of all different types. Okay, and the recovery center I ran for, vast majority of this particular recovery center that I ran for were minority. Black, Hispanic, white people too. But that's just being compassionate, having a heart. I understand that. And I'm just giving a couple of, just to demonstrate how I feel about this whole issue. You know, where we stand. And you learn this from when you're a kid. When I was a kid growing up, I remember I was playing football. It was a JV game. I played varsity in 10th grade, but I played a couple of JV games. And a guy that was on the team, guy Joe Lawrence, great guy. Went to Kings Park High School, right? And I think he went into the military after high school. I don't know if he went to West Point, but I think he was a career military. I'm not sure. But in Kings Park, there weren't as many young black athletes. I happen to this kid. He was a nice kid. I didn't care if he was black, Hispanic, white. Nice guy. And I remember we were playing West Babylon. Now, predominantly white school, Kings Park. West Babylon, predominantly minority. Black, Hispanic, and white. A good mix of all of them. And I remember during a game, you know, we were on the field. I think we were on defense. I don't know. It's a long time ago. We're talking about like 1984.
Right.
And somebody from West Babylon, after a play, he might have made the tackle or something, called him the N-word. And I didn't think twice. And I'm not saying I could put myself in his shoes. He's a black man. I was a white man. We were young. We were 15, 16 years old. But I reacted without hesitation and went after the guy that called him the N-word.
Rightfully so.
Because I had compassion for him. Like, I could empathize with how he probably felt at that moment being called.
Right.
That, right? I mean, but he's my teammate. He's a friend. And I defended his honor. He didn't have to do it on his own, you know?
Well, that's the one thing with the military and also with the police, too. I mean, look, there's good and bad in everything.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying...
Every time a cop does something wrong...
Right.
In life, in a particular story that we evaluate at face value before all the facts are there, the first thing I say to myself is, oh, man.
What a freaking knucklehead. Why would
I hope
would
that's
guy,
not true, yeah. Right?
Why would that guy do that? Because you wouldn't imagine yourself doing something like that if you were a cop. Right. I understand that. There's good and bad. But the bottom line is we wear blue, we wear green, whatever color you are, military. I wear the same uniform as you. Everybody else is there. We're all one.
And you served in the military. Yeah. You've done a ton of charity work, golf outings. I mean, talk about some of that.
Yeah. I do it always. We're always doing stuff. They just did this fundraiser for the military kids that with the hockey players came out.
And you're a military historian.
Yeah. It just, you know, I just think it would a different venue if they wanted to do it. I just don't think the anthem, I just don't see how the anthem is offensive to these guys. Considering that they're...
I just think it's a lack of respect to the military. Someone talks to me about taking down Confederate flags outside state buildings down south. I'm all for that. Yeah. I understand what that represents in terms of slavery and the history of this world. That I get behind, no doubt, snapping of a finger. I just don't think it's the right gesture. And to be honest with you, I'd have more respect for them if they just put up the fist like the guys did in the 68 Olympics.
Yeah.
Tommy Smith and John Carlos, right? I just would. All right, let's take one call before the break. Enough. I guess that's enough preaching
enough
on our part.
That's...
But it had to be said because people are like, well, they got no opinion on this, so that's not my opinion. I think it's the right cause. I think it's the wrong gesture. All right, so we got Rich from Manhattan. He's been waiting on hold a while. Rich, thanks for holding.
We are back.
We are back, meaning the Rangers are back for the regular season or for the Jets?
The Jets? John, hockey, everything. We're back on the air.
Yeah, it's been a while. I haven't been on in a long time.
He hasn't been on in a while. I've been on with Gary and John.
I got two things I want to talk about.
Go right ahead.
First thing you asked, you said that none of the Jet players were protesting today?
I'm not sure about that. I thought I heard that they all stood for the anthem.
Okay, because I'm ignoring this whole thing.
Okay.
Because I don't care. I care about the game. I
got you.
About...
I'm with you.
They never showed the anthem on TV. And if it's such a big deal and they're saying, oh, it's bringing down ratings, it's turning people off.
Right.
Why doesn't the NFL just tell the networks, don't show it?
That's a good idea.
I got you.
Go back to the way it always was. You have the introduction with the announcers.
Kick-off.
They go to like 5 minutes of commercials. And then you see the ball is ready to be kicked off.
Yes.
But if it's true that none of the Jets protested, it could be because the man that signs their paycheck is our ambassador to Great Britain underneath the current president.
Right.
I don't know if that made any difference.
So
that
it's sort of like
you think that would keep a player
that's going to fire a player for doing this against the president that he is serving our country for in Great Britain. It would be Woody Johnson.
Why, you think Mo Wilkerson is worried about that? Like, if he took a knee, you think he'd get fired, cut from the team?
I'm just asking you. That if you're going to have an owner that's going to make a stand, it's, you know, it puts their owner in a bad position because of what he's doing on behalf of our country over in
England. All right, well, Pittsburgh is a storied franchise. The Rooney family, right? The Rooney rule?
The Rooney,
hold on, the Rooney rule. In terms of, you know, interviewing enough minority candidates giving them a fair shot at getting a job in head coaching. Came from that family. They're a legendary organization. Rich, their entire team stayed in the locker room except for one guy.
I understand that. But
all right,
Rudy,
but just comment on it then.
That was the ambassador to Ireland under Obama.
Who?
Mr. Rooney,
okay.
The one that died last year.
All right.
Okay, he was our ambassador to Ireland appointed by Barack Obama.
Okay.
Okay, he's dead now. But I'm sure the Rooney family is very patriotic, the whole thing.
All right, well, the team spent the time during the anthem in the locker room. So if Barack was still in office...
But Barack
and, hold on, Barack was still in, if Barack was
said.
Still in office and
yeah.
Rooney was still alive
yeah.
and his ambassador to Ireland, do you think the team... would have been out there for the anthem? Is that what you're telling me, based on your analogy to Jets?
No, because Rooney served under a liberal Democrat who approves of all the Black Lives Matter things. So, therefore,
right.
Mr. Rooney would, too. So they would protest in all likelihood. It didn't matter.
You know, I don't... You know, let me just say this. I don't like mixing, and I know we had to do it. I don't like mixing politics
right.
with sports. It's almost like, you know, if you have a half and half,
if you want,
you know, Arnold Palmer drink, half iced tea, half lemonade, it tastes pretty good. If you've never tried it, it's pretty good.
Well, I just
but it's almost like it's almost
wondered
if compare,
why the
if you compare talking sports and politics to a drink like that, you know, Arnold Palmer, it's almost like taking the iced tea and mixing it with you know bleach and then
well,
drinking it.
Look,
it's
you
almost
asked
toxic.
Why the Jets didn't do it. I said I think a lot of it has to do with the
okay.
owner and who he serves for our country.
All right.
And, you know, it would be a slap in the face to the administration and to the owner of the team.
Right, which is a
but
fair...
But I want
it's
to
a fair, it's a fair thought. It's a fair thought on your part. No, you know, we're going to hold on. We're going to hold you past the break, and then we'll get to your second comment, because we're going
right.
to go to commercial on time. But
right.
I understand what you're saying. I agree with it. All I'm saying is I'm sure there's a lot of Jets that stand for the right, you know, stance here, that they want to do the right thing, social justice. The fact, if it's a fact that they... that none of them took a knee, I actually give them credit for that, as much as I condemn what Pittsburgh did by staying in the locker room. That's all. That's just my standard. I just don't think it's the right gesture. That's all. So we're going to take a break, and then, Rich, we'll get you right back on, and we'll get to your second point. We're halfway through. That's how quick it goes, folks. And maybe that's why I don't like doing shows, because I never have enough time.
Never.
Talk all night. All right? So listen, 631-888-8811 is the number to call. If you want to get on like Rich from Manhattan, who's been nice enough to hold for a long time, so we'll hold them past the break. Give us a call, comment, praise, whatever you want to talk about in the world of sports or on this particular night.
Jets, Giants, Islanders, the Evil Empire, the Rangers.
The Rangers!
We're not going to talk about the Rangers tonight, but it's mostly Jets and Giants.
That's right. So we'll Giants be right.
Got a raw deal today.
We'll be back after this message, folks. Stay tuned.
You are listening to Sports Talk 1240 on Long Island's AM 1240. WGBB.
Country Foot Care, official podiatrists of the New York Lizards, have been delivering state-of-the-art foot care with good old-fashioned caring to Long Island residents for over 30 years. Specialists in sports medicine and foot injuries, Country Foot Care can be reached at 516-741-FEET or online at countryfootcare.com.
Want to advertise your business on Sports Talk 1240? Place an ad on sportstalk1240.com and run a radio commercial during the show every Sunday night here on AM 1240 WGBB. Our rates are very affordable. We'll even produce the radio commercial for you. Just head over to sportstalk1240.com and fill out the Contact Us form and let us start promoting your business today.
Unflippable, unflappable, unleakable. The Gustbuster is the only umbrella that won't flip inside out, rip, tear, or leak. Capable of withstanding winds over 55 miles per hour. All of our umbrellas are constructed of the finest quality materials and backed by a limited lifetime guarantee. What are you waiting for? Visit Gustbuster.com and get your Gustbuster today.
Stay connected to Sports Talk 1240 by following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Sports Talk 1240.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, broadcasting every Sunday night beginning at 8 p.m. right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community. And now, back to the show.
All right, so we're back on Sports Talk 1240, 631-888-8811 is the number to call if you want to chime in with a little sports banter. Rich from Manhattan was holding with us, so let's get back to him. Rich, what was your next point? I know you wanted to get to something else.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about something that is way more important than any of this stuff, and okay. It showed last week at the new Nassau Coliseum.
Okay.
The future home of my team and John's team. I really want to see them build it at Shea Stadium. So this way it accommodates the people from Long Island who like to drive their cars and tailgate, and it also helps the people that are their city fans like me that could take the 7 train and get to the game easily.
Right.
I don't want the Belmont Park thing.
Okay.
Even though there is an LIR train that goes for the races, I don't know what they would do with that for a hockey game.
I don't think the Belmont thing is going to work out anyway, because coming off
the... I don't think the state's going to spend money on this team anyway.
And I agree with you. I like the city field, because I could take the train, the Long Island Railroad, and shoot over that way as well.
All right, so let's get this out on the table. Okay, so Rich, you want the new arena that will eventually be built for the Islanders to be in Queens, correct?
If they feel that they have to leave Brooklyn, because I'm okay with Brooklyn personally, but okay. I understand the people out in Long Island are not, because they got to take the railroad and it costs money based on the zones.
Well, it's not even that,
and they want parking and all that stuff.
It's not even a point of costing how much it's going to cost. It's just a pain in the neck, and it takes a long time to get there. It's almost impossible.
Right to the front door.
But it's almost impossible. But the train is so long. It's almost like I would be home in 25 minutes leaving from the Coliseum. It's just such a long trip, either way, sitting on the railroad.
Well, I made the long trip to Nassau for decades.
Right.
I didn't complain.
No, but the majority of
that's because you chose to root for the wrong team. You lived in Manhattan. You should have been a Ranger fan.
Or live out here.
You're misguided.
Especially in Suffolk.
I'm the enemy in that building when we're the road team.
But they look good there, right? They're like the only undefeated. Well, they're one of the only undefeated teams right now. They're looking good in the preseason.
That's outstanding commentary.
Yeah, it's outstanding. All I know is they're going to get off to a good start this year like they didn't do last year.
So, Rich, your vote is for Queens, right? Correct?
My vote is for Queens, but it's not going to matter unless they sign Johnny.
But that's where you want the new arena. Now, Mr. Sweeney, where do you want the new arena?
I'll take Queens. I'll take anywhere in the... You know what I mean?
Just give me... Obviously, where do you want the new arena?
I would love to have it by the Coliseum, to tell you the truth.
Okay. That's where you want it.
In that area.
By
yeah.
the Coliseum.
In that area.
In Nassau County.
Yeah, or Suffolk.
Or
which
Suffolk.
Which I don't think is going to happen.
So you want it on Long Island. Can you just say Long Island?
Long Island. Well, actually...
You know where I want it to be?
You want it some other state.
I want it in Quebec.
Yeah, thank you.
How about a second choice?
Because he's an evil, Ranger fan.
I gave you guys a choice where you want the arena. I just told you where I want the arena.
Let me ask you about the viability of another choice. How about sharing MSG the way the Lakers and the Clippers share the Staples Center?
No way, absolutely
And just
not.
Have the NHL
that
logo in the middle of the ice.
But don't we make enough money on you guys already by having you guys utilize our TV station?
I can't go into the
share
garden.
Share the garden. You're out of your mind. Let the Mets and Yankees share a stadium then.
Well, Rich, let me ask you this. Hold on. Let's talk about Tavares real quick.
I would compare it to the Jets and Giants, but they play in New Jersey, so that won't even count.
Johnny Tavares.
Yeah.
They're going to sign him soon. Or what do you think?
It's got to be $10 million.
Easy.
Ten a year for 7 years.
Aren't you two guys embarrassed with yourself? Aren't you embarrassed that your owners haven't even locked up the franchise?
The reason why they haven't locked up the franchise player, who they're going to do.
Oh, really? Enlighten me,
I don't think Tavares.
Oh, tell me why he's not locked up.
I don't think because he wants to decide what's going on. Because they don't like the ice in Brooklyn. There's a new guy coming in to fix the ice.
He's getting married.
What does that have to do with
getting married?
What is him doing with he wants to have to do with
them? Stamkos took it to the end. Stamkos played it out. And
what does that matter? So that's okay then?
It's okay. There's
other superstar players on Tampa as opposed to the Islanders.
But he can do what he wants. That's the point. It's his
He can do what he wants. I'm not commenting on Tavares.
And he can do it when he wants.
I personally think Tavares is doing exactly what he should do at this point. What I'm asking you is, and Mr. Sweeney is, aren't you in the least bit embarrassed that your new owners that have all this money haven't even broken open their checkbook and said, hey, Johnny, this is it. $12 million a year, 4 years. Just stay with us.
Lock it.
Don't leave. Are you kidding me?
No, you wait. You wait it out.
Wait it out for what? What are you going to accomplish by waiting it out?
You have a career-ending injury. wait it out.
A lot of things can happen. Stamkos got hurt after he got signed. Does that mean they made the wrong decision in signing him to 8+ a year?
I think it's what Tavares is worried about. I think Johnny's worried about getting hurt on that ice again. Hey, Oposo got hurt there. He got hurt.
Well, then you're
there.
Telling
and
me
he
that
is getting married.
You guys are telling me that Tavares is leaving.
7 years.
You guys are telling
getting
me that he's leaving. That's fine.
Kids.
All right. So you're telling me that he's leaving. That's fine. That'll be good.
I don't think he's leaving.
Well, how do you know?
I think he likes it.
You give no indication the way you talk about the topic.
And
I actually think
all the time here.
I think.
Oh yeah, he loves it. All right.
Hold on.
He's a gentleman, and he says all the right things. He's a leader. Well, don't tell me he loves it playing in that arena with that team.
He's a fine young man.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, I
will say
that. I like him.
Rich, I did a charity golf outing a couple weeks ago for the veterans that were for their kids that passed away, that were killed over in action. And they were raising money for the kids that have sticks, skates. And there was a few hockey players there, a few Islanders. I mean, I'm not going to mention any names, but they do not like the trip to... In the beginning, a lot of these guys don't like going to the city. They don't like Brooklyn, and they didn't like the trip going to Brooklyn. The way they were going in the beginning with the practices, and then they would come back, and then they would go back out.
Well, I said when they moved to Brooklyn, they had to just make the full move, get a practice facility, and the players can live close by. They could live lower Manhattan. They could live in the richer areas of Brooklyn near the arena, because that's a very wealthy area now.
Well, now they fixed that, because now they got the Eisenhower Park. So that's what they're doing the most.
You guys are tap dancers.
But I can see it's a half.
You guys are tap dancers, all right?
I think the team's
Tavares has all the leverage. And what makes you think he ain't going to ask for $12 million a year when it comes down to it? Forcing their hand, he's going to be a free agent.
He has all
the leverage, all of it.
He's not going to get the McDavid money.
No.
McDavid gets 13 point something a year. That's more than 12. Don't tell me he can't leverage for $12
million. Well, Connor McDavid is younger.
In the end, it'll be 10. You'll see.
But I don't think he's going to settle at this point.
That's
now, maybe he would have done that a year or two ago.
10 is a lot. 10 is a lot.
Yeah, 12 is a lot, too. And 12 is more appropriate for him.
Because you have to deal with the salary cap. You have to deal
what
with
salary
players
cap?
Around him.
Oh, the Islanders are up against it?
You have to build a team around
they
him.
They don't
as well.
Even... Hey, Rich, you just said it. You have to build... They haven't even tried to build around Tavares. You're a tap dancer.
Hey,
tell me what the upgrade is.
Kiefer Bellows.
Where did they... You drafted a couple of years ago, Bellows. What does that mean?
I love
Where's
Kiefer
the upgrade?
Bellows. I love him.
You're pathetic.
He's a very good player.
You have embarrassed yourself as an Islander fan.
I go back with his dad to Kitchener. Of course I love the kid.
You've embarrassed yourself as an Islander fan.
And what about Hosang?
Hosang, I'm wearing his jersey.
That's a draft pick. You got to see what he develops into. What I'm saying to you is the Islanders, for all the players that they've lost over the years, not that they lost anybody special, but they have not upgraded around Tavares. I've been telling you guys for years... As great as Mario Lemieux was, they didn't win a thing until they brought in all these other support and Hall of Fame players. Your owners, past and present, have not done a thing to upgrade around him. What makes you think he's going to stick around for $10 million? That's ridiculous.
He honors the dynasty.
And if he does, then his agent has done a poor job on his behalf if it comes down to that.
Derek, are we going to hear the Express song, the BT Express?
No.
The Rangers. You're not going to play that now?
No.
Okay.
Ranger
nice,
hockey
nice
start.
Playoff run.
Ranger hockey did not start yet.
Yeah,
although
nice
I do like the depth on defense. There's going to be guys fighting for those last two spots.
What about the net?
You know, they got McDonough.
What about the
they
net?
They got Brady Shea.
The net.
They got Ryan Smith. You know, they got four defensemen, you know, that are givens. And they got a tremendous amount of young guys, some through trades, some through draft. They're going to fight for those last two spots with Nick Holden and Mark Stahl. But they got their top four are set, which is good.
It's about time they put up a Rattel banner, by the way.
They're going to retire his number. It's great.
Is this 2 years?
In February. It's going to be awesome. One of the guys from the gag line. And they'll have two-thirds of the line retired up in the rafters. It's nice. They didn't win a Stanley Cup either, by the way.
Is this 2 years in a row or 3 years in a row that Halak's been injured?
Halak, you didn't even like Halak last year.
I mean, not Halak, I mean...
And then you loved him all of a sudden, you wanted Grice.
Right.
And then you met Grice and you sucked up to him, you lied to his face. That's just great.
No, I didn't lie to his face.
Yeah, you did.
You didn't
tell him that you wanted him out of the net.
That was the beginning of
the year. The only goalie to get you a playoff series win in about 30 years, and you wanted him out of the net as soon as things went bad last year in the beginning of the season. I don't forget a thing.
The team managed it.
What's
management?
That?
They mismanaged
yes,
the whole.
They mismanaged the team. I agree with Rick.
If he stayed with the big team, they would have
got
those.
All right. On top of my love for the Rangers, okay, depth on defense, we also, in terms of upgrading, we have the arrival of Kevin Shattenkirk. Cronish, whether Lundqvist blows it again or not in the playoffs, the Rangers have retooled on the fly.
Yeah.
They're getting younger as we move forward, and they have upgraded around their superstar by adding Kevin Shattenkirk, okay? And he took less money because he wanted to play for the Rangers. And you think Tavares is going to play for your team for less, knowing that he's from Ontario? You are kidding nobody but the man in the mirror in which you look. That's it. And 3D is a pom-pom raising orange and blue Islander fans. You guys make me sick. That's why I can't talk hockey with any of you guys.
Nylander, they got to pay for those three kids. They can't afford.
Stop.
They can't afford.
Your franchise is an embarrassment. They're a joke. It's embarrassing.
How is that?
They've been talking about a new arena for over a decade. It's disgusting. It's disgraceful what the Islanders have become. After they built such a powerful organization in the first 15 years of their existence.
Legendary.
The team and organization they have become over the last 20-plus years is disgraceful.
Let me just
tell one joke. Everybody laughs at them. Nobody wants to see anything bad. Oh, because we live on Long Island. Let's get the Booster Club going. Give me a break. You guys suck, your fans suck, and I've had it talking about the Islanders because none of you can have an honest, objective discussion about it. They haven't upgraded around Tavares. Your team's going nowhere. I don't care if they make the playoffs or not. You're going nowhere.
Hold on. It's boring.
It bores me to follow the Islanders. I used to love hating the team. Now I don't even care. I don't even care about what they do. Except for you, Sweeney's the only guy.
Bring the hatred?
You know what? You know what, Curtis? Me and you used to talk hockey all the time. We never went at it nose to nose. Ranger Islander hate, because the Rangers were busy missing the playoffs in the early 2000s, right, when we first met on the phone.
That was
okay?
A good time.
But Sweeney is the only reason that I despise the Islanders now.
Oh, no.
Back when I was a kid, it was the team, how great they were. All the players, Bossy, Trottier, Potvin, Al Arbor.
They were great.
They were world-class. It was like a bad taste in the back of my mouth. I hated them beating the Rangers every time. Now, they're just a running joke. A running laugh of a joke. That's what they are.
How is that? They got a young talent coming their way.
What talent?
What are you talking about?
Tell me about all the superstars. Hold on. Give me a list of all the superstars that have evolved in the organization outside of Tavares. Give me them. Who has evolved? Tell me. He's a one-man gang. It's like Walter Payton with the Bears back in the 70s. That's exactly what it is. Different sport, same thing. Payton had nothing. He had nothing. No quarterback, no receivers. He had nothing. Everybody knew he was getting the ball. And he still stuck it to them for 15, 16, 1700 yards a year.
That's Tavares.
Before Buddy Ryan came in there and formulated that fierce Bears defense.
I agree with you.
Now that we go back, Buddy Ryan would be embarrassed if he knew what his boy Rex said on TV, too.
Oh, by
just
the way,
so you know.
Let me close out going back to the Jets for a second.
Go ahead.
Before the year began, I thought they'd only win three games. They won today, so maybe they'll get to four. But you talk about Darnold and everything. I like Rosen a lot more than Darnold, if you're going to go that way. But they got to play.
Is it Darnold or Darnold?
I thought it was Sam Darnold or something like that.
They got to know between Hackenberg and Petty, which if they either of them could play before they even consider that, because they could use that draft pick to pick up offensive lineman, which they really need a lot more.
You only like Rosen because he's Jewish, like you are.
Hey, he says he's atheist.
All right, what's that mean? He doesn't believe in Christ?
It says that he doesn't believe it. He's not a religious guy.
No, Rosen's very good. But Donald, I think it's Sam Donald.
Darnold, whatever. The point is that
he's more like a Ben
Roethlisberger.
I think Rosen is a lot more polished in his position.
He's just
got to put on more weight on his body, but he's very polished.
Good luck. Sam Donald hasn't lost one game, and he's young, and he's built like a brick, you know what.
All right, we kept you long enough. You got a World Series winner first before we cut you loose?
Let's hear it.
What, World Series winner?
Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't care. The Mets aren't in it.
Okay.
But you would like to see the Indians win, wouldn't you?
I don't want to see the Yankees win, I can tell you that.
Don't you want to see the Indians win?
I couldn't care.
Why not?
I just don't care.
This is like an historic run.
Maybe they'll do what the Royals did. The Royals lost the World Series to the Giants. They came back and beat the Mets.
If the Indians win, fine.
The Indians lost to the Cubs,
and
now they're coming back with a vengeance. What did you think about that 22-game win streak? That was impressive. That was sports at its best.
When the Mets got rid of everyone, like in July, I stopped watching.
The Dodgers were like 55 games over 500. What happened to them? Now it's all about tribe time. And with that, we bid adieu, Mr. Cronish.
Take care, Rich.
Have a wonderful one. John, you have my sympathies.
You're a great guest.
I'm getting a headache already.
You're a great calling guy.
It's a great show.
I'm sorry,
come on, people, call
I'm sorry your hockey team stinks.
They work hard. Call the show.
All right,
come
we'll
on,
talk
people.
To you soon, man.
All right.
Take care. All right, so now we're on baseball. 22 games in a row, the Indians won.
It's insane. It's insane. Was it 27 was like the all-time record or something like that? It's insane. And then they what? Then they won, what, four in a row after that, I think? They lost that game, and they won like three or four in a row after that?
They're going to lock down home field throughout the playoffs.
I like to see. It's, you know what it's going to be?
They're only one game behind the Dodgers now.
And the Dodgers
to have home the, field the, in the World Series.
The Dodgers were up by 40 games or something like that.
The Dodgers,
and the Dodgers have
weren't
fallen.
The Dodgers like... They were like...
With the seven games
They
left.
Were like 95 and 35.
Yeah.
Right? Something like that.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Now they're 99 and 57. What what happened there?
The pitching staff fell apart.
What is going on in La La Land?
It is La La Land. I'll tell you right now. No, if the Indians play them... If
they're
Indians,
not even going to win as many games as the Mets did in 1986.
No.
If and, the, people, and I was the first one. I thought, oh, they got a great chance to break the all-time record.
All-time.
116, they'll beat the Mariners.
They brought
record.
That kid Bellinger up, and he wouldn't stop hitting. He was insane. But I'm going to say something right now about the Cleveland Indians.
98 and 58.
You're going to like this.
They're 40 games over 500. At one point, they were a handful over 500. Now they're 40 games over. And Corey Kluber won again today.
Insane.
Which brings me to my first question. Do you give Kluber the Cy Young, or do you want to give it to...
18-4.
Listen, I said what the winning streak was and how great they've been. We're on a different topic. Can you stay here with me?
Yeah, I'm...
Who do you want to give the Cy Young to? You want to give it to Kluber, or you want to give it to Sale?
No, Kluber gets it. Kluber gets the Cy Young.
Why?
Because he's done more for his team than Boston, than Sale's done for his team in Boston this year. Kluber's definitely done more for his team.
All right, Sale 17-7 with a 2.75 ERA.
Right.
Kluber is 18-4 now with a 2.27 ERA. That's impressive. He's won a Cy Young already. That's impressive. He missed about a month. He was hurt, Kluber.
Right.
All right. The only reason I don't have a problem with Sale winning the Cy Young if they vote for him is because he struck out over 300 guys. That's the only reason I don't have a problem. If he didn't get the 300 strikeouts, I would say Kluber all the way. But that milestone, I don't even...
That isn't very...
The
impressive.
Last time it was done was like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't even know how long ago. Was it Pedro Martinez?
Yeah, Pedro.
So, I mean... So, maybe I shouldn't give him heavy weight on the strikeout total and just... I mean, listen, Kluber, if he keeps it up... I mean, that...
Cleveland's going to...
There's no secret as to why the Indians are very successful, folks. Their pitching staff is the best.
Yes.
1-5... And they got a tremendous
closer.
That 22-game win streak, they didn't even have Andrew Miller for a long stretch
and he's
of it.
Back.
And they won 11 consecutive games on the road. Not total. They won 14 consecutive on the road during that streak, and it just finished up the other night. They finally lost a road game. But at one point during that 22-game win streak, they won an 11-game road trip. They swept. When I saw that go on, that was amazing. And the Yankees were included in that road trip. I mean, the baseball, they... Listen, the Indians, all their big hitters were in the infield. Jose Ramirez, Frankie Lindor, right? Edwin Encarnacion plays first. Every DH is Carlos Santana. But they went and did something to upgrade their offense
Jay
in the
Bruce.
Outfield.
Jay Bruce.
So all you Met fans should get behind Mr. Bruce.
I like him.
Bruce is on the loose.
And I like Cleveland.
And he added some power to the outfield.
Yeah.
And now...
That's what they need.
Because they're so clogged up in the infield, they got some good defensive guys. Kid Ursula plays a little third base, that they convert Kipnis, who was the star of the team last few years. He's been hurt the better part of this year. Now he's playing some center field. They might use him in the outfield. That's how cluttered they are in the infield with star power and defense.
Kipnis
really,
is a superstar.
They really have what it takes, Sweeney. I'm not just saying this because I root for the Indians, but you know what? They got that heartbreak, playoff experience. They were up 3-1 in that World Series against the Cubs. And now, the way this season's finishing up, the win streak, and they're still just winning even after the win streak.
Well, Houston's got they got that locked up. They're 19 games ahead.
So you like Kluber for the Cy Young, then?
Yes.
How about in the NL? Who do you like?
In the
NL. Give it to Scherzer?
Yes. Yes. With the Nationals, yes.
I would say Scherzer.
Yeah.
Cy Young, right?
Yeah.
Now, how about the MVP?
The MVP of the league? You know,
American League MVP.
Well, I'll tell you, Bellinger's getting the Rookie of the Year. And probably Judge will probably get the Rookie of the Year. I would say, right? Bellinger definitely gets the
NL. Judge has 48 home runs now?
Judge gets
that
the,
true?
Judge gets the AL Rookie of the Year. And Bellinger gets the NL Rookie of the Year.
Judge has 48 home runs and 105 ribbies. He's batting .281. He had a horrific slump in the second half.
He's batting at .330.
I got to be honest with you. I know there's guys that probably deserve the MVP, but if he gets those two more home runs breaks that rookie record that McGuire's held for so long.
He's got it. Yeah, he could do it. He's got 8-7 days.
I probably would just vote for him.
Yeah. He's going to get it.
And nobody – now, I don't follow 1,000 people on Twitter, but I've hardly heard any talk – about this.
I've heard a lot of
and I predicted, not that it's some great prediction, but I posed the question to Wally Matthews, big boxing expert, covers the Yankees probably for ESPN Radio, whoever he's working for now. And Peter Schwartz, big Jets. I'm the fan like you.
Yes.
Right? Works for CBS Radio. Everybody's a fence rider. Nobody wants to say yes, he's gonna do it. No. I predicted when he was at 46 home runs, I think he was at. That he would do. They was going to have a binge this last week. Now he's at 48 home runs, so he must have hit a couple.
And he's got seven
I didn't see any
days
games
left.
This weekend, but he must have hit a couple.
Right.
Because he's at 48, and now he only needs two more.
In 7 days.
In the last 6 day games or whatever they got left.
I think it's Sunday, 7-7, right?
I think he's going to do it.
Yeah. I heard a lot.
Not even more now, but I thought he was going to do it ahead of time.
I heard more people complaining about him when he was in that slump that he'd take him out of lineup and move him back in the order. Because that's what New York fans do. They complain right away. When the guy slows down, they're right away. They want to throw the guy under the bus, get him out.
Everybody likes to complain. Yeah. It's like the Giants in football. The Giant fans.
Hey.
At the end of the third quarter today in the NFL, I thought the Giants were going for that first overall pick, not the Jets. And do you know how many Giant fans I saw tweeting or on Facebook's talking about how it's time to move on from Eli.
They're out of their mind.
Eli this,
Eli
that.
Manning.
And then the guy threw 3 fourth quarter. I mean, he put them in position to win, which they should have, and their defense gave it back.
What, a 10 in a row? He had 10 passes in a row? Eli Manning, listen, guys, Giant fans out there, you got 2 Super Bowls under your belt. I have nothing with the Jets, okay? He was also the Super Bowl MVP. And he beat Tom Brady, the evil empire. He beat the Patriots. On both of those. Come on, man. This guy, he hasn't missed a game in his career. He's at the 201 or 202.
He's never missed a game.
He's never missed a game.
He beat Tom Brady twice in the Super Bowl. The only guy to beat Tom Brady in
the Super Bowl. The evil empire of the New England Patriots.
His two-decade reign of Belichick and Brady
has a blemish
has only been disrupted by Eli Manning.
Eli Manning is a blemish on their.
We got to move on from him. We got to get it. It's time to move on
from him. He's like the kryptonite. Okay. Hey, look, you know, probably New England's probably, even though the defense is
weak. We'll give you our quarterback for him if you'd like. If that works out better for you.
Yeah, I thought Eli played good today.
All right, so anyway,
they have no running game.
You like
the Giants
Judge?
I like Judge. I like Judge. And I like Bellinger.
You like Judge if he gets to 50 homers.
Right. And I like Bellinger.
Now, what if he doesn't? See, like the 300 strikeouts.
Yeah, but who?
Would sell. Right. See, now 50 homers because he's a rookie breaking McGuire's record. That would put me over the top.
But who's next?
What about Altuve? He's going to win a batting title. He's going to have 200 hits again. You know, a focal point of the Astros in their drive. I mean, the guy over 100 runs scored. He's got 25 home runs for a little tiny second baseman. The kid's had a great season. He's worthy of it. I got to say that much.
Now, I was talking about more Judge getting the Rookie of the Year. That's what I'm talking about. He's definitely getting the Rookie of the Year. That's a lock. And so is Bellinger for the Rookie of the Year. Now you're talking about the MVP. Okay, there are a couple of other guys.
The only other guy I would put up against Altuve and Judge for MVP, I'm an Indian fan, it's fine, but Jose Ramirez.
Yeah,
he's got over 50 doubles.
Right.
Another guy, second baseman, can play a little third, right? He's got 29 home runs, over 100 runs scored, 81 ribbies, about 317. He does it all. But if Judge gets the 50 home runs, I got to be honest with you, I probably would give it to him.
Now, let me tell you something. Hold on. Altuve can win the MVP because he's having a monster freaking career.
He's awesome.
Monster year.
I have no problem with him.
30-something steals. What's he got, 35, 38 steals?
I'm just saying, if Judge
steals?
Gets the 50 home runs, I'd probably vote for him.
Right.
You know why? Because chicks dig the long ball.
Yeah.
And the young man, despite being, I don't care that he's 6'7", 6'8", 280 pounds.
He's still got to hit that ball,
baby. Tight end for the Jets or somebody.
He's still got to hit the ball. Yeah.
A long way.
He can hit it a long way. He's still got to hit the ball.
And I'm so tired of hearing Yankee fans complain about Gary Sanchez and his pass balls. Get over it, folks. The guy is probably the most dangerous hitter in the lineup. Puts a charge into the ball.
Yeah.
30 homers. 30-plus homers as a catcher. Not too many Yankees have done that in their history.
No.
Who was the last one? Yogi Berra? Come on. He'll get over the pass balls. You got Tony Pena and Joe Girardi there. They were catchers. Tony Pena's a gold glove catcher. Get off your ass and do something. Help the kid.
Yeah.
Drill him. That's the problem. Same thing with football. These guys don't practice. That's why the first quarter of that check game was nothing but false starts and offsides.
It's horrible.
Right?
Yeah, it was horrible. Yeah.
Let's cool it with the Sanchez on the bench type thing. Give me a break. He is dangerous whenever he steps up to the plate. That kid can hit. He'll be fine. Guys like Johnny Bench, Carl Fisk, Gary Carter, you know what? And maybe scoring was tougher back then. They all had a lot of pass balls.
They all had a lot of pass balls early on in their career. Yeah, right, exactly.
All right, last question. The show's almost over. NL MVP. You going with Arenado? Or do you want to give it to Blackman?
Blackman.
He's going to have over 200 hits.
Blackman's probably.
I mean, Arenado's the best fielding third baseman there is. But Blackman's done a lot. 30-plus homers, 134 runs scored. That's tremendous run generation there. I mean, the kid's incredible.
It could be. It's a flip of a coin.
Arenado
has
129 ribbies.
It's insane.
By batting average?
They're both playing. Don't they both play in
Colorado? How about co-MVPs? Like when they gave it to Stargell and Hernandez back in 79.
Yeah, but don't they both play in Colorado? So isn't that like.
So what?
I don't care. But that does.
They make the playoffs? I like those guys.
Is Colorado
Goldschmidt may be worthy of it?
Goldschmidt.
You
want to
talk about Joey Votto? Fine. His team stinks.
I'll tell you what, though. Goldschmidt probably will get the MVP, and I'll tell you why.
Go ahead.
Because he's carried that team. He's really carried that team.
He's great. I don't have a problem with him winning.
Colorado, on the other hand, it's Colorado. All right, guys.
You got a World Series winner for us?
Cleveland.
I don't know when we're on again.
Cleveland.
You heard it, folks.
Cleveland.
Even though we're in Long Island, it's tribe time.
How many
Cleveland rocks.
How many games will the Jets or Giants win this year?
Combined?
Yes.
Or separate?
Separate. Jets.
The Giants will still win seven games.
I think the Giants might get to eight.
I hope the Jets don't win more than
Giants will turn it around, guys. Don't worry about it, man.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry about it. Just hug those four trophies you've won since I've been alive. In those Super Bowls. I'm not worried about what a Giants game is feeling.
Let's go, Islanders. Hockey season starts in 2 weeks.
Yes. The future Stanley Cup champion Rangers take the ice October 5th. Maybe we'll talk again before then.
Remember,
I want to thank Brian for directing this operation tonight. And I want to thank all you for listening. And remember, it's just a game. Good night.
Program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.